Community violence is the violence that happens around you, but not to you. Sadly, our world is full of scary, disturbing news about people harming others, such as school shootings and acts of terrorism, and it's really hard to know how to explain such events to young children, or how much to share. Whether children have been exposed to traumatic events in your neighborhood or across the world, you can help them feel safer and more secure, and build hope and healing for a more peaceful, kinder future. Because first and foremost, children need to feel that they are loved and their loved ones are safe and protected. We can't control these events, no matter how much we wish we could, but we still hold a lot of power in our hands.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for our Anchored podcast today. I'm Kaylin Goble, the programming coordinator for the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. You just heard Antonio Freitas, Senior Content Manager at Sesame Workshop, speaking in one of our Kids Serve 2 webinars. Antonio was speaking about community violence and community togetherness when facing traumatic experiences. Our Military Families Learning Network has been collaborating with Sesame Street to explore resources and strategies relating to topics faced by military families and children with our Kids Serve 2 webinar series. Today, we will be continuing our conversation with Sesame Street as we talk about topics important to the healthy development of all children and families. MFLN is a DoD grant-funded initiative. Our network consists of teams across the country focusing on topics important to military families and the providers working with them. Our goal is to provide programming and resources to support and strengthen the professional growth of those working with military families. We created this podcast as a space to discuss current topics and trends impacting military families. We hope this episode provides you with a bit of respite to help lay some groundwork for your professional development and your daily work with individuals, families, and communities. Each episode, we have conversations especially relevant to service providers working daily within our military communities. However, these conversations can be used for all service providers in all areas. With these conversations, we hope to do a small part in helping those serving our service members. So we invite you to sit back, relax, and get anchored with us as we take a visit to Sesame Street. As we all experience great transitions and changes, finding resilience and staying optimistic can be especially difficult, but it is important to our mental health as well as to the support and care we are able to provide to others. Today's conversation with Sesame Street's Rocio Galarza will focus on resilience and traumatic experiences. Rocio will discuss what these topics look like today and how they impact current work in helping families through today's challenges. We will also be discussing Sesame Street's curated, research-informed multimedia resources that you can use in your daily work. For more than 50 years, Sesame Street's mission has been to provide vibrant, relatable programming promoting the healthy development of all children, families, and communities. While Sesame Street has always been a resource for children and parents, Sesame Street and Communities is a research-based component of the organization, providing parents, caregivers, service providers, and community members with resources, trainings, strategies, and overall support. Sabrina Huda, one of our friends from Sesame Street and senior project manager for various Sesame workshops, described Sesame Street's vast library of resources in one of our Kids Serve 2 webinars.
Just a very quick history. I know we touched on this maybe on all of our resources, that these aren't sites because it's Sesame Street. You go and play a game. It's really for adults to find and find those tips, strategies, and resources they need to talk to their children, for providers to use with maybe clients or families they're seeing through family readiness services and so on. As you can see, the topics we have right now, the main six, of course, tackle the milestones of military life, like deployment, relocation, homecomings, and then there's four more on just really those everyday things that are still important to kids. Celebrating birthdays, big milestone there, but how do you do that when you know a parent may be away at a training or, you know, deployed? Health and wellness routines and self-expression are also ones we learned that from our formative research and talking to families that these were ones that they would love to have some more guidance on. And on each of these pages, you'll basically find multimedia resources that we create for all of our initiatives, from videos, printables, interactive games, and just again, providing those tips and strategies to get through all of this together as a family.
It's often difficult to find a balance of personal and professional care, support, and growth when dealing with stressors of everyday life. But these stressors are amplified and especially hard to navigate when facing them within the context of a global health emergency. As always, Sesame Street hopes to be a place for both kids and adults to find support during the COVID-19 health crisis. Their commitment to growing smarter, stronger, and kinder children, families, and communities continues to help us care for each other and ourselves. Rocio Galarza joined our Family Development Project Director, Dr. Casey Mixon, for a conversation on traumatic experiences, resilience, and the support offered by Sesame Street. Rocio serves as Assistant Vice President of Sesame's U.S. Social Impact Department. She has worked with Sesame Workshop for more than 15 years. In her work, she has led teams to conceptualize and implement community engagement and social impact efforts to a wide variety of audiences. We are happy to welcome Rocio and for her to bring her expertise on family education, health, and well-being as it relates to resilience and facing traumatic experiences.
Well, hi, Rocio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm hoping you can help orient our listening audience and really kind of discuss the definition and the meaning of traumatic experiences as, you know, Sesame Street kind of thinks about them and talks about them.
Well, we use the National Child Traumatic Stress Network definition, and in their website, they state that trauma is the physical and emotional responses of a child to events that threaten their lives or bring physical or emotional stress to this child or someone that is critically important to them, like a parent or a sibling. We know that trauma affects children in different ways, and that if traumatic experiences remain unaddressed for us, we understand that they can have long-term effects, but those long-term effects can be prevented, and that is the Sesame way, highlighting what we can do proactively. Even when you have witnessed a traumatic experience, how you can turn it into a resilience moment. How can we help parents and we can help children learn from these moments and become stronger?
Great. And that definition can really expand a lot of different types of traumatic experiences families and young children and even within communities are going through. Can you give some examples of what types of traumatic experiences that Sesame Street likes to provide resources and support on?
Right. So there are many, and I'm going to be honest, the list is quite extensive and really sad to hear, but they include emotional, physical abuse, neglect, witnessing violence, having community violence in your neighborhood, being part of the foster care system, incarceration, divorce, addiction of a parent, and of course, bullying, and one that we are very much aware is experiencing racism. We also know that, unfortunately for many kids, it's not just one event that they are experiencing. They may be experiencing frequent events or repeated events. So it's not only the type of event, but unfortunately, the frequency of them that is causing quite an impact on young kids.
And when isolated events or chronic trauma, which I think is what you're talking about, when it keeps occurring, happens, what are some of the signs and symptoms or the effects that children tend to exhibit after being exposed to traumatic experiences?
So behaviors change by age, but we know that no matter their age, children that have experienced trauma may demand more attention, show some aggression. Sometimes they seem withdrawn or startled easily. They might have problems sleeping or show some fear or separation anxiety or fears of certain adults. They might cry for reasons that adults cannot figure out. And some of them show regressive behaviors like bedwetting or particularly after being toilet trained, irritability, sadness. And they might be all of these behaviors, but they might also be some of them that come and go. And they are really calls for help. Children are trying to tell us something with their behavior so that we can help them.
And in light of some of the current health emergencies that are happening now, how do they contribute to children experiencing trauma, either exacerbating those symptoms and those signs that you just talked about? Do you have specific examples of what this may look like?
Mm-hmm. So the experience for COVID-19, of course, has brought up quite a few events that can be traumatic in children's life. The uncertainty of it all, of course, is the first thing that comes to mind. But there are many changes, and children in general do like routine, do like to know what to expect, because so many of the things around them are not something that they can control. So that in itself is quite difficult, although, again, they are also very resilient and very flexible. Some of the events that we've just mentioned in the list that are happening more often, like grief for some children, unstable households, the added stress has increased the prevalence of substance abuse in some households, or stable home situations or homelessness because of financial insecurity, food insecurity. And of course, the effect of racial disparities, which we have seen in terms of community violence and racism. So we have seen quite a bit of an uptick on many of these issues that not only have effects on children right now, but have long-term effects as well.
And what are some of the resources for parents or helping professionals, maybe school teachers, maybe mental health professionals that are available either through Sesame Street for Military Families, through Sesame Street and Communities?
Mm-hmm. So for Sesame Street for Military Families, I would love to start with that because a lot of the resources that we have there address feelings, address expressing, self-expression, expressing your emotions and trauma in terms of mindfulness and health and well-being. And that is some of the most basic things that we can do to help children right now. Make sure that they have an outlet for their feelings, and also trying to maintain those routines and healthy habits that will help them thrive even when everything is changing. The things that shouldn't be changing are those healthy habits. Then for Sesame Street Communities, we have COVID situations. We actually have a section called Health Emergencies, which we go through some of the different situations that children might be experiencing, from separation anxiety to grief, and give very specific tools and videos, tips, sometimes interactives that can get children talking about these issues and parents understanding, giving them tools to understand what their children might be experiencing, but perhaps not mentioning so verbally.
And how might a helping professional or a parent access that information?
Mm-hmm. So if you go to Sesame Street for Military Families, the self-expression and the health-related topics will be great, and providers can access them on the website. And if you go into Sesame Street in Communities.org, both of them are .org, you can go into the health emergencies topic. There's also, for providers, you will have in the professional development section some tips on how to use the materials and some extra support for providers.
Great. And are there any apps associated with either of these initiatives?
For Sesame Street, for Military Families, we have an incredible app that has actually been tested very well and is about problem solving, but has a section that is about managing your feelings, and it's the Breathe, Think, Do app. It motivates children to breathe deeply as a mindfulness strategy when they're confronted with frustrating situations. It's a very, very helpful app. But the website itself, Sesame Street for Military Families, has interactives. One that I love is, well, there are two that I love. One is the feelings, it's almost like a feelings vocabulary app, or interactive, I should say. And it gives you different feelings and their definitions and the cutest kids' faces ever. And it helps parents to use that language with their children and expose children to different feeling names. There's also the Mood Monster, and that is an interactive that helps children understand that sometimes feelings are not only in what you say, but also how you feel in your body. And through the Mood Monster, they can talk about those behaviors or those feelings in your body that show up when you're either frustrated or angry, but sometimes also excited and happy.
And it sounds like really helps kids and parents find language that where kids can wrap their mind around what's going on, you know, physically with their body and then also with, you know, some heavier, powerful emotions too, huh?
Absolutely. And the idea is that many children, particularly when you're in preschool age, the youngest ones, have a hard time verbalizing. But if we have these experiences with a family member, they might learn some of this vocabulary, but they also might have an outlet that goes beyond the verbal aspect of feelings, right? They might draw something. They might hear a character say, I feel frustrated, and relate to that character. And that is the type of experience or situation that is so helpful for a parent who's trying to understand their child's behavior.
And becomes a cue too, that kind of threading in that language and it becoming a part of the family culture and the family dialogue. It can be a cue for a parent to know that, oh, you know, my child needs support in this emotion right now, which is a wonderful tool that families can develop to really promote resilience and to help them thrive.
Absolutely.
And that kind of leads us to, you know, might be a good segue into a lot of resources that Sesame Street has on building resilience in family and really strengthening already resilient families. But if we can kind of take a step back and if you can kind of give us an idea of what we mean by that term when we're talking about resilience and really how it relates to children and families and the work that Sesame Street does.
Yes. So for us, resilience is our ability to bounce back from challenging times because they're going to come. Life brings changes and challenges. And the idea is, how do we learn from them? The good news is that resilience is many times defined by the protective factors, the things that will make, that will help a child be able to bounce back. And the good news is that one, the most important protective factor is actually having a caring adult. So the more that as a caring parents and caring adults are in tune with their children, they help them through these situations, the more resilient they're going to become. So that's fantastic in our approach, right? In terms of giving parents all of these tools to help their children really thrive, even in facing adversity.
And what, in your work, what have you found to be the best ways or practices to really promote resilience, whether that be community resilience or resilience within families, promoting it within schools?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of resilience, parent and caregiving, having resilience themselves or promoting that in their children by understanding children's development, having positive parenting strategies, and modeling through their own responses to trauma. When it comes to their relationship with their children, having a nurturing attachment and having loving relationships and really being attuned to their child's, his or her needs. The social connections that a family can have with their friends, their neighbors, their community, that not only promotes the family's resilience, but also the community as well. And of course, looking at some of the basic needs being met, being able to have access to food, shelter, clothing, healthcare. And for many of these, what we promote in young parents and parents in general is to ask for help. Asking for help is always a brave step and one that we all need at different times. And then social and emotional skills, being able to promote and manage the emotions in a positive way. Share your feelings, which is why the materials for Sesame Street for Military Families and Sesame Street in Communities are so helpful, because it helps particularly for this social emotional skills, but it's also promoting a nurturing, caring relationship with parents, which they already have. It's a matter of within these very stressful circumstances, remembering some of the wonderful work that they already are doing with their kids and doing it even more often than they are used to.
One thing that you just highlighted too is asking for help. And really in these times when we're facing challenges related to a global health crisis, reaching out for help may not look the same if we're not face to face. And what I love about Sesame Street's resources is that you can use technology and have access to these really great resources, whether they be video clips or you know, electronic handouts, or like you said, all of those nice little strategies and tips for parents in utilizing the emotions and I can't remember what it was called, the emotion monster?
The mood monster.
The mood monster. That's such a better term for it too. The mood monsters, and really giving, you know, utilizing those online resources, those accessible resources, but then cherry picking what's going to work for their family, what's going to work for their children based on their development and where they're at with grappling with these pretty big emotions. But yeah, the reaching out for help and what that looks like, I think, is a great point. And how do we become innovative in the way we reach out for help, given present day situations and barriers with, you know, face-to-face communication?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, it comes, the main idea of being able to search these websites with all of these resources is that really parents do know their children's best. They are doing an amazing job. These are such difficult times. And the stories that we're hearing from parents are of resilience, of parents that are doing so many things all at the same time, but with such care and thoughtfulness. So I want to emphasize the fact that we already are doing a lot of wonderful work. Mm-hmm. These materials are to help perhaps in areas that we feel might need extra help, but also to expand on what the wonderful work that we are already doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need some reminders. You know, I can tell you that at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, I needed reminders on routines, on keeping routines and how important those routines were for young kids. And even my kids were like, well, but when are we doing this? When are we doing that? And so these type of tips that we provide is to help remind all of us some of these very basic things that we already do, but sometimes we need a little help on that.
Right. And I know that too, sometimes we can get online and go down the rabbit hole of resources. But what I like about Sesame Street and how it's curated on their websites and even on their app, it's pretty easy to navigate. If you're looking for something specific or are just looking at the wealth of resources and information on the website, you can pan in or pan out. You know, you can do a deep dive or just kind of an overview and gain insight into what is available. And how that's organized and curated by Sesame Street is really refreshing when you are navigating the website.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have it divided by topics, but you can also do some search on keywords. But I always suggest, you know, look at the materials, some of the first materials that you see on the website, and have fun, because even though we do tackle very difficult topics, we also have Muppets that help us through it with a lot of humor. And in difficult times, sometimes we need to laugh a little too. So because of that, we have a mix of the very difficult topics, but also what type of mindfulness strategies that include humor can help us through some of these very, very difficult times.
Can you share some examples of the resources? You know, we talked about mood monsters before in dealing with trauma, but do you have any examples of the resources for building and nurturing or promoting resilience in children, or how families can help nurture or facilitate that?
We have another really great resource within Sesame Street and communities is around the traumatic experiences topic. And there we have Big Bird being our ambassador. He does go through some challenges, as we know from his history, coping with Mr. Hooper's death, as well as Hurricane. He actually lost, at one point in his trajectory, in his narrative, he lost his nest. And we thought that if someone can tackle a traumatic experience, that would be Big Bird, because he is such a wonderful model on how to verbalize your feelings and how to look for help when you need it. And so Big Bird is, in our traumatic experiences, is coping with some anxiety, some very difficult emotions. And you have Alan helping him through by creating a comfy, cozy space or place in his mind, which of course for him is his nest full of Granny Bird's cookies and pictures of Granny Bird. But that is a really good way of starting to think about how do I tackle some really big issues, some really big feelings with a mindfulness strategy that could calm us down, that could calm our body in order for us to then verbalize and manage our emotions more positively.
As Resia mentioned, the Traumatic Experiences workshop includes Big Bird's journey with big feelings like grief and trauma, and illustrates how Alan, a caring adult in Big Bird's life, helped him find comfort and calm during tough times. Let's listen to how Big Bird and Alan work together to find a safe place and address the challenges he is facing.
Hi, Big Bird. Hey, Big Bird, you okay? How are you feeling?
Not too good, Alan. Yeah, I've got all these feelings, you know?
Are they big feelings? Like sad or angry or confused?
Yes.
Anxious?
Yes, it's all those feelings, and they're all mixed together, and I don't know what to do.
I understand. These big feelings are okay, especially when hard things happen. Big Bird, do you know what I like to do to feel calm?
I go to my safe place.
Your safe place?
That's right. It is a place in my imagination where I go to feel peaceful.
Peaceful? Well, that sounds nice, Alan.
Oh, it is. Hey, would you like to imagine your safe place, Big Bird?
I would, but I don't know how.
All right, just use your imagination, all right? You want to try?
Okay.
Okay, good. First, we're going to breathe deep, all right? Inhale. And let it out slowly. Good. Now, picture yourself in a place where you feel calm and comfortable, right? You can look any way you want it to. What are you imagining?
I'm in my nest. Well, that's where I feel safest.
Good. What would you like to have with you in your nest?
I'd have my favorite bear, Radar.
Good. What else do you see?
Well, it's a beautiful day, and the warm sun feels good on my feathers.
Nice. Do you hear anything?
Oh, a little birdie singing a happy song. And I hear a soft breeze.
Do you smell anything?
Oh, yeah. Birdseed cookies, fresh out of my Granny Bird's oven.
Oh, tell me about your Granny Bird.
Oh, I love her a lot. She's sweet, and she's caring, and she made my favorite blanket. Just thinking of Granny Bird always makes me happy.
Big Bird, how are you feeling now?
Well, I feel safe and much calmer inside. Thank you, Alan. That really helped.
I'm glad. And you know, you can visit your safe place anytime you need to. It's always there for you. And guess what?
What?
So am I.
Visit the Sesame Workshop on Traumatic Experiences to watch the video that you just heard. You can also find guides, resources, and other materials that incorporate Muppet stories, like Big Bird's story of creating and finding a comfy, cozy nest. As Arcia noted, this video illustrates strategies such as using mindfulness techniques like deep breathing as a tool to ground Big Bird, and working together and listening to what makes Big Bird feel comforted and happy. Alan shows care and support and works together with Big Bird as he navigates his big feelings to create a place where he feels safe and can find groundedness. Rocio continues on with some other foundational strategies to use in showing support and caring for children.
So I would encourage that. There is also a section on comfort, on providing comfort for parents, which is all about what ways would children want to receive that comfort, right? And sometimes it is the blanket. Sometimes it is having a little comfy, cozy thing that they can carry around. But many times it is a hug and the different types of hugs that a parent can give. So that is some comforting strategies. We have resilience, an entire resilience topic. We go more in depth on emotions. We go more in depth on problem solving. So there's a wealth of materials, and all of them, there are moments where you read it and you're like, oh, this resonates on not only with my child, but it might resonate with me at a particular moment in time, because they are created with an understanding not only of what the child might be experiencing, but also what the parent might be experiencing as well.
Right. I liked that too. How do you comfort with a hug? I think in my past teaching and helping professionals, we would talk a lot about even how do you hug with your words, or how do you hug with your actions too? And I think that example lends itself to kind of us thinking about all the ways we can hug.
Exactly. And of course, we're talking parent and child, so hopefully they're able to hug in this COVID-19 reality. But if there is a provider, there's so many ways that we have can say hi, that we can show that we care. And actually in the health emergencies, we have some of those ways as well.
That's wonderful. Great.
So we have a variety of different offerings on the website. For providers specifically, we have an entire professional development section with webinars and courses. And the webinars are very helpful in that we bring other providers that share their best practices and their experiences, and give us a thought-provoking way of looking at different topics. So that is a really helpful way for providers to start understanding perhaps some of the topics that the parents might be bringing them, or even if you are an expert on them, some ideas of addressing it with parents that might be different. And then for everybody, from providers to parents, the rest of the site is full of videos, printables, articles, interactives. And each one of them give us different ways of interacting with young kids, sometimes interacting even with parents if you're a provider. So for example, we have videos that parents can watch with their children, and many of them are used to introduce a topic or to start talking about a difficult situation that might be happening at home. But they have also been used with providers to introduce families to different talking points that they can have with their children, with their families, as they start to address some of these challenging situations. Then we have printables. Usually providers use those printables to help parents almost continue the work that they've been doing with families in very specific ways with their kids. And the articles for parents are useful in that it gives practical ideas. Not all of the ideas are going to be for every parent. The key here is that the article is giving you different perspectives that have come directly from parents many times, or experts, on how to cope with some of these situations and some of the things that we can do every day, even when we don't have challenges, things that we can do every day to develop resilience in our kids.
Right, and especially that their parents and even providers can pick and choose what's going to be a good fit that they can apply to their own work with families or with their own families.
Absolutely. Providers are the experts of families. Families are the experts of their own kids and their own situations. And they have the best way of choosing what might work for their families.
And you talked too about the webinars. I know we've done a number of live webinars that are also archived in our collaboration with Sesame Street. And we'll talk about those later on in the episode, what's available. And then we have an upcoming webinar that we've scheduled with Sesame Street too, specifically on health emergencies, that we're excited to kind of see what comes to fruition with that and learn about all the great things that, again, have been curated by Sesame Street on this topic area. So those webinars tend to be about, the ones that we've collaborated on have tended to be anywhere from 60 minutes to 90 minutes, but it sounds like you have other webinars and curriculum that could be longer or maybe self-directed. Am I thinking right?
Yes, that is correct. We have webinars that we actually have videos that can be 3 minutes long that can introduce a topic to eight. Then we have webinars, like you were saying, they might be 22, an hour long. And we also have courses, and those courses are more specifically on topics that early childcare providers have told us are important to them. And they are self-paced, you do it on your own time, and they take a little bit longer to complete.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to touch on?
So in our traumatic experiences bundle, in addition to having this experience with Big Bird, we have bundles of different topics that will be helpful for families that are going through these experiences. One of them is, for example, on managing emotions, but some of them are also around creating a sense of hope. And from our perspective, hope is a set of skills that we promote in our kids and ourselves in order to see the possibilities for our families beyond what we are experiencing now. So all of these bundles are helpful in that it gives you, let's say, a video, a set of tips, and either a printable or an interactive that are all related to those topics. And it helps you explore these topics a little further.
Great.
In the website, our bundles, of course, I'm a content person, I think of bundles, but they're called workshops. And they are mentioned, they're called workshops because they were specifically created for providers as they are exploring a topic a little further with their families. And we know that sometimes you might need several ways of exploring a topic in order for you to really get to what the family might be experiencing. So that's why we call them workshops.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rocio.
Thank you so much.
We wanted to highlight a few other resources you will find when exploring the Sesame Street website. There are curated provider-specific resources, such as the Using These Resources Guide on the Traumatic Experiences Workshop portion of the website. This guide is one example of how Sesame Street offers resources that pan in and out on topics and frame them in certain ways for providers, parents, and children. Sesame focuses on providing strategies and navigating difficult topics related to issues such as emotional or physical abuse, seeing violence or experiencing community violence, bullying, loss of a parent or family member due to death, separation, or divorce or incarceration. These are things all families continue to experience, on top of the unique stressors that have arisen out of the current health emergency. Most activities include a big idea at the top of the page, providing a general overview of takeaways from each bundle. For the Traumatic Experiences Workshop, the big idea is that the more you know about the effects of traumatic experiences, the more of a difference you can make in a child's life. These resources are here to help you offer hope and healing to all families. Each guide also lists an age group that these resources are best geared towards. The Using These Resources article, for example, notes that the ideas and materials are best used with children ages 0 to 6. Each resource also notes how long of a read it is. And this one is about a 1 to 4 minute read. I know when you're doing your research and finding information and resources to best help your families and clients, it's always helpful to know how much time you can plan on dedicating to reading and reviewing. This guide reads that, quote, "For decades, Sesame Street has used the power of Muppets to help kids and families cope with tough topics. We now know that 1 in 4 children endure more than one traumatic experience. So with guidance from expert advisors, Sesame Street developed these resources to support you in your work with kids and families. As a member of Children and Families Circle of Care, you hold tremendous power. You can be an anchor with the support you provide kids and families, and you can be a game changer in their lives. We're all in this together, and we know we can't do it alone." As Rocio noted, we all know that these issues are often not experienced as singular moments in a child's life, but these resources cover diverse challenges and provide diverse opportunities for growth and building resilience together. Sesame Street knows that, quote, "When not addressed, these experiences can change the way kids' brains are wired. They impact their ability to learn, creating obstacles to growing smarter. They affect their mental and physical health and well-being, so they are less likely to grow up stronger. And they change the way they interact with the world and those around them, making it harder to be kinder. But as always, Sesame Street's goal of creating a sense of hope during difficult times is clear in all of their content. this particular guide includes best ways to model coping using the Muppet Way. Quote, many of the coping and resilience building strategies within this topic are presented by Big Bird and other Sesame Street friends whom kids already know and love, as do many of us adults. Sesame Street goes on to note that, quote, so much healing happens within nurturing relationships, and it helps when a caring adult can teach kids important coping strategies. Alan works together with Big Bird to create a comfy, cozy nest, a place where Big Bird can find comfort, feel safe, and think of things that bring him happiness. By working together and communicating to find coping strategies and nurturing resilience-building techniques, this workshop uses the interaction between Big Bird and Alan to show how trauma is a big deal. But Big Bird's got a big spirit, a big heart, and big dreams. And by working together with caring adults in their lives, children and families can find ways to deal with big feelings, just like Big Bird. No matter what age range of children and families you are working with, these resources can be used in all your work. Because they teach universal resilience building strategies for smaller, everyday challenges, as well as bigger, serious ones. Often, the best ways to help kids is to help their parents. When kids experience trauma, the whole family is impacted. You know the best fit for the families and children you work with on a daily basis. So you can curate these resources to decide what best will work for you and for the families that you support. Another great tip for professionals and parents to note when exploring the site is that you can find an activity based on children's age range, the time allotted to a particular activity, as well as the type of activities such as interactive storybooks, coloring sheets, videos, printable guides, articles, and other topical workshops. There's also a great one with Big Bird that opens up the conversations for adults and children to talk about building one's own comfy, cozy nest. At a time when so many children and families are facing not only the daily challenges that come along with everyday life and life within the military, but also the unique stressors that have arisen out of the COVID-19 health emergency. Working with kids and families to find strategies to feel safe and to be mindful of the potential for personal growth and development during this time is vital to health and wellness. This coloring sheet is just one example of a tool that can be used to start a conversation on what children need and how you can best help them and support them in finding or creating a safe space and imagining a place where they can find comfort and feel safe and anchor themselves when dealing with these big emotions like grief, loss, and other traumatic experiences. Big Bird and Alan's conversation was just one story in Sesame Street's trove of tools and activities. All of the resources that we mentioned today will be linked at the bottom of today's episode page, so you can find the links to any of the resources and begin your journey with Sesame Street from there. As Casey mentioned earlier, our previous professional development webinar series with Sesame Street for Military Families includes our Kids Serve 2 webinar series. You heard some clips from those series earlier in today's episode. All of the webinars within that series are actually available for archive viewing now on our website, as well as on our YouTube page. That will also be linked at the bottom of today's podcast page. In this series, we were joined by Sesame Street representatives and explored resources and strategies related to community violence, military relocation, military caregiving, and young children with special needs. You can access those from the series homepage at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/kidsserve2. As many of our returning listeners will know, and I'm happy to announce to any of our new listeners today, a majority of our MFLN programming offers free continuing education opportunities. For details on how to obtain continuing education credit for today's episode, or any of our other programming, make sure to visit our anchored podcast page on our MFLN website. And if you'd like to stay updated on upcoming programming that will offer free continuing education opportunities, as well as to participate in live sessions and talk with us and our facilitators, we invite you to follow us on Twitter at MFLNFD, where we post daily resources as well as notifications when we publish blogs, podcast episodes, and our upcoming webinars. Today, we talked about traumatic experiences and how you can use Sesame Street in your work with helping families and children find and nurture resilience. Our next webinar with Sesame Street will focus on the many changes and challenges young children and families are facing during the COVID-19 health emergency. Our Sesame Street and You, Caring for Each Other During COVID-19 and Other Emergencies webinar will explore best practices for providers and caring adults providing support to families before and after disasters. Sesame Street has been developing strategies and tools as we face this new normal and work on finding ways to stay healthy, keep routines, and provide emotional support for one another while we continue to maintain a sense of optimism. This webinar will take a deeper dive into the Caring for Each Other initiative, which was designed out of the current COVID-19 health emergency and was curated specifically as a suite of resources to help the whole family find comfort, connect with one another, and remember to also take care of ourselves during challenging times. Participants of this webinar will learn how to best address the impact of COVID on young children's well-being, their families, and on the educators and providers supporting them within their communities. We'll cover prevention, healthy habits, and coping with illness, as well as providing emotional support for the for now normal, and the transition to the longer-term effects of a new and unique traumatic experience. We'll also determine the best strategies to keep families connected before and after a natural or man-made disaster. So we invite you to join us to become familiar with and learn how to best apply these resources to your current work and for a discussion on how other providers and organizations are currently utilizing these resources and tools and implementing them in their work. You can visit the webinar event page to see the free continuing education credits that will be available for this training, as well as how to watch. And of course, that will be linked at the bottom of today's podcast page on our militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org website. There, you can also find information on obtaining continuing education credit for today's episode as well. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, just click on episode details and our episode webpage will be available from there. Our Greater Military Families Learning Network is also excited to be launching our inaugural Military Family Readiness Academy. The Military Family Readiness Academy, or MFRA, is a new virtual learning opportunity for professionals offering strategies and special engagement activities suitable for individuals, groups, and organizations. We know that readiness is essential not only for a robust military, but for the well-being of military families and the success of all families. Our 2020-2021 series will prioritize on-the-ground strategy and action, with sessions spaced over time to maximize the learning experience. Visit militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/MFRA to RSVP to join our live sessions this fall as we learn more about the current resources available and the unique, timely skills you need as you manage disasters and hazards within your professional field and your greater community. We would like to give a special thanks to the team at Sesame Street for their work in making today's episode possible. This episode, as well as our webinar, Sesame Street and You, Caring for Each Other During COVID-19 and Other Emergencies, is in collaboration with our MFLN Family Transitions team, and we thank Sarah Kroymans and Anita Herring for their work in making both of these programs possible. My co-host today was Dr. Casey Mixon, MFLN Family Development Project Director and Assistant Professor at Valdosta State University. Today's episode was edited by Family Development Programming Specialist Jason Jowers. We'd love to hear from you, so be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. And if you're listening to us on our Military Families Learning Network webpage, be sure to comment and let us know what you thought of today's episode. And also maybe how you plan on utilizing what you learned today in your work with families and children. We'd also love for you to participate in our live conversations with our network, so we invite you to follow us on social media or subscribe to our newsletters to stay up to date on these opportunities and upcoming webinars. And again, from all of us at MFLN, thank you for sitting back, getting anchored, and accompanying us on our journey to Sesame Street today. This MFLN-FD production is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award numbers 2015-48770-24368 and 2019-48770-30366.